This is TSM Zero, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome back to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 181, coming to you live and or pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, October 9th, 2019. The time, 9.05 p.m. Central Time. If you're a new listener, don't worry, because this is the best episode ever. We have lots to get to. We will have e-news, as always, as we get to stories we just don't have time to. Little serious conversation today. I won't lie to you. As esports is maturing, so will the conversations around it. I think it's a time we, you know, look at one of the staples in esports and really kind of talk for real, and things need to change all around the world. And of course, I'm talking about the Smash community. We're going to look at that. We're going to dive into the Smash community and just tell you what is wrong. And it's okay to change. And, something about Blizzard in Hong Kong. They said something, did something. And from what I'm told, people are talking about it. So we will dive into the Blizzard in Hong Kong debacle that is going on right now. But before we do that, hello, my name is Tim. I'll be your host for this journey into esports. And with me, as always, is my first mate, Anuj. What's up?
I feel like we're the new Fox and Friends, you know? Like, we're about to dive deep today.
It's the no-spin zone. Is Bill O'Reilly still a thing? Do people know? Like, do the kids know who Bill O'Reilly is?
No, he's, unfortunately, he is no longer with them. I say unfortunately, it depends on...
Really? He is no longer with Fox?
No, I think he's been gone for a little while now. I think he had, like, some, like every other male out there, a lot of sexual allegations against them, so...
Like every other male in news. They did something. Boy.
James Franco, man. He's, like, sad to see. He's the next one down.
Is he another one?
Yeah, another one.
Man, I don't keep up with any of that, but...
We're a world news show today.
It is weird. So go ahead and follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring, our website, tcr.gg. It's got all the links and everything you could want from the show. Twitter, YouTube, Discord, all the fun stuff. So be sure, click all that, follow, review if you are on whatever they call iTunes now. iTunes is dead. I know that. I don't have an iPhone. I don't have anything Mac now.
iTunes is dead?
Yeah. Apple with their latest update, or it's going to be dead. I don't know.
Well, so Apple has like a podcast store, so that's the only way I go to.
Oh, okay.
I listen to ours every week, twice a week, three times a week, sometimes seven times a week. I'll go back and listen to it once a day. But it's if you're on an iPhone, it's the podcast app. Search The Center Ring. Leave a beautiful comment. Give us 5 stars. Maybe even hit subscribe. That would be great so you keep up with all the latest content. But yeah, that's the easiest way to find us on iTunes, everything else, I don't know.
You just search The Center Ring Esports. Yeah. CastBox, if you search The Center Ring, that's my preferred.
You can type in method. Number one esports podcast. I think it comes up that
I
way now, too.
So, easy stuff, man. Easy stuff. But let's get into the number one esports podcast, shall we? Let's start with just the news of the day, because it's really just the juicy topic that we want to get to anyways. And I don't want to rush through Smash. So let's talk about this Blizzard debacle, I guess would be the best way to say it. For those who might not know, Anuj, give us like the quickest recap you can. Not a Brett recap. We don't have time for a Brett recap for those who might remember
you
him.
A 1 minute synopsis of what is going on right now in the world for y'all to keep up. And then we will tell you guys how this is related to Blizzard and what's going on right now. But you should know a little bit of the bigger picture so you understand the context behind what we're going to discuss. So Hong Kong acts as like a semi-autonomous state within China. Basically, it's its own democratic state within an authoritarian state, right, that China is. So it's been this way since 1997 when the British gave Hong Kong back to China, basically. Part of the deal was that Hong Kong can be democratic, the semi-autonomous state, until 2047. So not that far away, right? Like our generation in terms of right. Hong Kong, as you say, our generation in Hong Kong, this generation is the first generation that will actually be affected by them becoming part of China's authoritarian state. So recently, there have been like some of the largest protests ever. There's been protests held throughout time over there regarding this. But recently, there's been a really large one, the largest one to date, basically over an extradition bill. So people can like go to China to go on trial, which is like the last thing you want to do in a state that basically, if they don't like you, you're screwed type thing, right? So that's where all of this stems from, is this extradition bill and the bigger picture of Hong Kong wanting to stay a democratic state and not fall under China rule.
So that's where all this protest is coming from. Yeah. So it's not because of the Chinese Overwatch teams underperforming this year.
Well, that's where it all stemmed from initially.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And the protest carried over.
And then they were like, well, if they're not making the finals, I guess we'll protest democracy. We're out here anyways. Yeah.
Might as well do something with it.
I got these gas masks to do something with. And, you know, Overwatch League is done. So
this is all carried over into esports, which is where, Tim, I'll let you kind of dive into this here and explain what's going on now.
Yeah, so Hearthstone, obviously everyone knows it, Blizzard card game, had its Grandmaster tournament, I guess just over the weekend or whenever.
It's a reoccurring online tournament that's going on, so they do like weekly games.
But I think this happened on Monday. Was it when we were recording it happened? Or I don't know. It's happened in the last couple of days, though. It's all messing up now in my brain. But one of the pros, who is from Hong Kong, in his post-game interview, pretty much shouted out, "Liberate Hong Kong, revolution of our time," which is kind of like the slogan going on there. And so instantly, this made its round across the internet, right? Like, damn, a pro just shouted out, like, "Liberate Hong Kong." And also, keep in mind, outside of just Hearthstone and video games, the NBA is dealing with this same crap, right? So, like, if you're like, well, there's nothing to really compare this situation to, no, there really is.
Because, and it's like right now.
Right now, the general manager for the Houston Rockets, and those who might not know basketball that well, the Houston Rockets are very heavily intertwined with Chinese basketball. They were official partner of the Chinese League over there, who Yao Ming runs. Yao Ming, former player of the Rockets. There's a close relationship between the NBA, Houston Rockets, and China. Well, the general manager tweeted out that he supports Hong Kong, and then that started a wildfire where China was going to boycott the NBA now, like the government of China. Well, that's kind of all like the NBA, I don't think, has really said too much on it.
Well, the NBA came out and said that they don't agree, obviously. The NBA came out and said Daryl Morey, the general manager for the Rockets, has the right to say whatever he wants, but he's not speaking for the NBA as a whole. Although they didn't take a stance because they can't take a stance. They can't take a non-democratic stance, right?
We'll get to that in a minute here. My point being is like this isn't happening just to like there are examples on what to go by. Okay. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, that pro said it. It made its round around Twitter. Honestly, I saw that, Anuj, and figured, oh, that's interesting. I put it into our little notes for e-news. Like, this was going to be an e-news story. Like, I really, big surprise for those who probably longtime listeners, I don't really get into politics that much. I don't get into serious issues, right? Like, I'm more flustered that Sigma is still a ridiculously balanced out hero in Overwatch. Like, that's my issue going on right now in my life, personally. But Hong Kong, you know, I feel you too. So I honestly thought, okay, this is interesting. Boom. E-news, right? politics, world news colliding with esports. That's neat. And then all of a sudden, word comes out the following day, Blizzard responds to this. I thought, before I clicked the link, oh, Blizzard probably did what the NBA and the Houston Rockets did. They just took a very on-the-fence approach about it and said, look, we don't support them, but we're not going to condone them, which I think would probably be the logical way. But what Blizzard ended up doing was the exact opposite. They took away all his prize money, suspended him from play for a year, and kicked him out of the Pro League. Well, what's the point of suspending him for a year if you're going to kick him out of the Pro League?
Fired the two casters that conducted the interview. Yeah, all they did was, I don't know if people have seen the stream or watched the video. If you haven't, you really should, because these two casters look like they're fearing for their lives. I mean, they're hiding their face. They're like underneath the desk. You can hear them kind of giggling, right? But like, it's like, yeah, definitely not a comfortable situation. But they fired them as well. So really anybody tied to it. And not only that, they took down the VOD. They disabled comments on YouTube. They made the subreddit private, I believe, even for a period of time. So they did everything that they could to kind of be like, okay, we took this really strong approach. We got to make sure nobody talks about it now, though. We can't have people going wild with this. I don't know what they were thinking.
To play devil's advocate, Blizzard was like, hey, guys, I know you're freaking out and you think that we're communists now. But if you read in section 6.1 of the official Hearthstone Grandmaster rules, it clearly states that engaging in any act that in Blizzard's sole discretion, okay, brings you into public, what's that word?
Basically dispute. Public dispute.
Okay, that's what I was going to, I don't know what that word is. Is that a typo? We're going to say it's a typo so I don't look like an idiot. Public dispute.
No, it's like it's disrepute. So it's like disrepute. You're basically being held in like low esteem by the public. Like
as a man who just read a lot of legal contracts, Anuj, that sounds like legal garbage.
Basically, you're putting yourself in a negative light to the public eye.
Okay. Offends a portion of the group of the public or otherwise damages Blizzard's image. So they, and that's pretty much right there, otherwise damages Blizzard's image. That's probably what they took on. Because obviously the backlash from this is that, well, you know, shit, if China is threatening to boycott the NBA, well, if China boycotts Blizzard now, like that's a huge, huge percentage of their market.
What is the market share? Do you know?
I don't.
I know it. I'll tell you if you don't know.
Okay, is it not as big as you think?
Give it a guess.
So I was going to guess
20%. It's 12%.
12%. Okay.
12% of all of Blizzard's revenue stems from the Asian market. Now, that also includes Japan. That includes Taiwan.
Just Asia. Like literally just Asia.
The Asia market. So then you also got to take Hong Kong out of that equation as well, right? Where there is a big gaming population there.
Hong Kong's
so really, like, mainland China is not as big of a portion.
You could maybe say
8%,
give or take?
Yeah, 5 to 8%. Right. Yeah. Okay, Japan is also massive in terms of gaming, right?
Right.
So,
and for a company that just recently posted billions of dollars in profit, 8% is probably a lot of money, but it's not the end of the world to, like, your bottom dollar in the sense of what they are taking it in the shorts for now. Like I said,
it's hundreds of millions of dollars is what it equates to, but that's out of like what they made like 7 billion or something last year.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Like, yes, of course it's going to be a large amount of money, but look at what they're dealing with now. First off, I mean, number one, the biggest issue is you went from an e-news topic on the center ring to a full blown discussion, which you never want to be. You never want to go e-news to full segment. That's never a good sign.
You also don't want to be trending on Twitter with the hashtag boycott Blizzard.
Yeah, and the issue too is like now this has hit news. Like this isn't like this has now broken free out of the gaming news websites and Reddit and all that. And it is now like on Fox and CNN and like this has now kind of rocked the news world as far as just business-wise goes. Where now,
Flash is back on Fox News. Top five esports consultant. Do you think it would bother him if I said top five and not number one?
No. No, like, not at all.
Say top five esports consultant.
In fact, no, I think it would bother him, but I'm saying I don't think you're wrong. I'd probably say maybe top 10. Top 20.
He's a big one. He's a good one. He does a good job. I mean, I actually really enjoy him on Fox and Friends. He was on there. I say Fox and Friends. He was on Dana Perino's show. Don't know how to pronounce your last name. He does a good job of advocating for the esports community. I'll really give him that because he goes on there. He speaks well. He's knowledgeable. And in this case, you know, you could see he was taking the gamer stance. Like, right, this is a bad look any way you spin it.
Right.
Regardless of what your thoughts are on the situation in Hong Kong, which I would find it very difficult for somebody, at least in the U.S., to be like, Oh, man.
I'm pro-China. I'm 100%. Like, I'm jumping
what assholes those kids are for protesting their future like snowflakes, you know? Like, that would be a really bad stance to take. For Blizzard to go so public here, and really the hard stance that they took more than anything, you're going to get backlash from everybody. There's not one person that's going to sit here today and be like, well, you should see their side of it. Like, you can't have that. Their side of it, if it's the other side, is going to be considered the wrong way. You have politicians getting into play. I don't know if you saw this. I actually saved a couple of these because I thought they were interesting. Because we got it on both sides, Republican and Democrat. So you know it's a big deal when you're getting Republicans and Democrats.
Well, because you know what this is to them, right? To people outside of the gaming world. It's not like, hey, gamers, like, don't play this game. It's now turned into an American business bent the knee to China, which for those who don't, I mean, maybe this is like this everywhere, I don't know, but in the States, in America, like, that definitely like raises some eyebrows of like, whoa, bro, like, not cool.
You're playing China's like jury for them, right? You're basically doing China's bidding here. China is telling you, hey, we don't support this, take it down. You don't have to, but they're doing it, right? So you're right. They are bending the knee. Marco Rubio came out and recently said, recognize what's happening here. People who don't live in China must either self-censor or face dismissal and suspensions. China using access to the market as leverage to crush free speech globally. Implications of this will be felt long after everyone in U.S. politics today is gone. You know, then another Democratic senator came out and also, you know, spoke on this, you know, saying pretty much the same sentiments, though you're doing China's bidding for them. And this is a bad look. Like, not only a bad look, it was a bad decision.
Right. Well, and even like Blizzard's own employees now, like staging protests, blacking out, like, I guess like on the campus of Blizzard, they have like sayings that say like unite the world or something like that. Right. And then like people are blacking that out in the Blizzard's office. Like, even people within the company are not happy and being vocal about it.
This is what's beautiful about what it said. It's a big orc statue, like, making a charge. It's in the middle of their, like,
you've
center
seen it.
Pavilion.
I mean,
anytime anyone
goes to the Blizzard office, it's like number one picture.
There's two quotes that were blocked out around this thing with all these several quotes around it. Two of them. Think globally. Every voice matters.
Ouch.
Every voice matters. So yeah, I mean,
too, like, I haven't heard anything from like the president of Blizzard, which, by the way, we just spoke to like last week at the Overwatch League finals. Like, I just met this dude, right? So it's kind of like, is this the same guy who made this decision? Because I can't imagine, like, right after you just had an event and right before BlizzCon. Like, this is the time of year where it's like, guys, after last year's BlizzCon, where we went in, where we came out of it hated, like, because the whole Diablo and things there, right? Like, people hated you after BlizzCon. It's like, this was your time to regain the public's trust and love. I mean, this is Blizzard, right? And then, like, a month before your event, your biggest event of the year, you do this. Like, what a horrible PR look on this. And I will say, I don't care if Blizzard supports Hong Kong, doesn't support Hong Kong, whatever. To me, that's like not my problem, right? And obviously, you know, everyone deserves their freedom, right? And China, let's be real, is communist with some, you know, a mask on, right? Like, we all pretty much know that they're still communist. But I don't care where Blizzard's opinion on a government opinion, right? Like, that's government, right? People have different opinions.
It's tough nowadays because each company has so many different political views. So if you start doing that, either you have to be all in and boycott hundreds of companies across the board, but it's tough to pick and choose. Obviously, we don't, you know, you don't want to think that they are like pro-China.
And I don't think, I think this is 100% business decision, which again, to some people makes it worse, right? Because that means it's about the money. It's not about, you're going to value money over someone's freedom, which again, I don't think that's what Blizzard's train of thought was, because it was just this one person who was outspoken. So they said, we're just going to punish him. But I don't think they were thinking it's going to make it look like we hate Hong Kong and support China.
But so now what now? So that collegiate tournament just took place, right? It happened today. The collegiate tournament was, I think, going on during the day today, and it's a Blizzard-sponsored event. It was on Blizzard's Twitch channel, right. And one of the kids in the tournament held up a sign saying that they're supporting Hong Kong, and the stream was cut off immediately.
To boycott Blizzard.
Yeah, and to boycott Blizzard. Yeah, he had the hashtag awesome. Boycott Blizzard on there. So now if this is... if you're going to say treat them fairly, which we don't think they treated the first individual
not at all, right?
Like that at all. They didn't treat Chung
Let me finish my point real quick, because I was going to say, I don't care what their opinion is politically, right? But from a business standpoint, from a PR standpoint, they 100% screwed up, because I don't care if you don't support the player's cause, right? But I do think, in this sense, you don't, that doesn't mean not supporting doesn't mean you have to condone. You get what I'm saying? Like, they could have just said, look, his opinion is his own. Blizzard as a company, you know, they don't even have to say we don't think that way, because that's kind of implying that you side with China. You can just be like, our players have a right to their own opinion. As a company, we support that freedom of mind, whatever, you know, put a company spin on it and then move on. But the fact that they like not only said similar things to that, but then like went back around and said, oh, by the way, all your prize money's gone, and now it seems like they're attacking him for his opinion, and that's my issue is, yeah, now you're attacking him, a guy who plays your game. Like, this is one of your own, Blizzard. It's not like he cheated. It's not like
he said he spent like
someone.
$10K on the game,
right?
You know, like buying all the packs and whatever else you have to get.
Like, I don't care if you don't support, but you sure as hell as a company can't condone.
Do they ban the collegiate players now? If we're going to say that it just has to be fair across the board, is that the strategy they need to take here? And if you don't ban the collegiate player for voicing
worse.
His free speech, now what? Like, now do you start backtracking and unsuspend Chung? And Chung had a quote today. He tweeted out on Twitter today, which I thought was a great tweet. So I'm just going to quote
Chung
it directly.
Chung was the Hearthstone pro.
Yep, Chung. He goes by Blitz Chung, I think is his in-game name, if I'm not mistaken. Sad that I actually don't even know that. I think it is Blitz Chung, though. Anyways, he had today on Twitter, he made a statement. Today, what I have lost in Hearthstone is 4 years of time. But if Hong Kong loses, it would be the matter of a lifetime. And you can see the importance. Like, I mean, he's holding his ground. He's not going to change the way he approaches this. So now it's going to be important to see what Blizzard's next step is from a PR perspective, because now you just had somebody else come out and do virtually the same thing on stream, except rather than shouting it out, they held it up with the sign.
And
it's going to be really interesting.
Like, his was almost worse because he's saying to boycott.
Yeah.
Like, at least the other one kept Blizzard out of it other than doing it on his own platform, right? Like, this one is like straight up calling out the company.
It's crazy
because
this really wouldn't have been a big story at all had they just ignored it.
BlizzCon will be a shit show. I'm glad that we're going there to cover it for media sake, because I think it's going to be a once in a lifetime type of event to cover. Like, just because this isn't going to slow down. Because at this point, like, what Blizzard, if Blizzard tomorrow comes back and says, hey, just kidding. The guy who made that decision didn't get a clearance from all the higher ups here.
Chung, it's not going to work.
Get your money back, and Blizzard doesn't support China. Thank you. Bye. Because then on that point, you do then have like China being like, bro, what the hell? Like, now we are going to ban you, which they're not. Like, and if they do, call them out on their bluff. Like, China's a big country. Say you have 8% of China playing your game. That's a lot of people. So then China has to think, okay, do we ban this from 8% of our population? Like, that's going to be another story out there. And it's like, because that was the whole bit with the NBA, right? Like all the reports from the NBA was like, the NBA called out China on their bluff pretty much and said, you had like 800 million people watch us last year. You're gonna turn that off? Like, good luck, bud. Like, and Blizzard, I felt, could have done the same thing. Like, you know how many people...
Blizzard literally had a script in front of them of either what to do or how not to handle it based on what they thought the reaction was from Adam Silver, the...
Commissioner of
the NBA. Like, they could have really gauged what the public outcry was based on his reaction. Well, they just took it and were like, no, screw it. Like, let's just slam the door shut on this and do what we want to do. Now, granted, Blizzard is also, people need to realize, I think 8 or 5% owned by Tencent, a Chinese-based company. Obviously not a majority share or anything of right. that sort, but they have some ownership stake in it. So that means they probably have a shareholder or two on the, or, you know, somebody on the board or whatever. But you're right. Like, BlizzCon is really, really going to be interesting because I think, A, what's going to happen now is imagine what Twitch chat is going to look like. Not only at BlizzCon, but any Overwatch League event. And anything, that, you know, talk about like World of Warcraft, all their like PvP events and stuff that they do and raiding events. Like, anytime people have a chance, they're going to be spewing something, and you're already seeing it. They're going to be spewing something about this situation on there, something pro Hong Kong, something that is going to irritate the Chinese government. Let's just say that, right? And,
well, and that's why
no
this was so dumb
that.
On Blizzard's part, right? Because it really was, I mean, it was really an easy situation for them to start with. Just don't do anything. If they would have just done nothing, this would have been... Like, seriously, it would have been that one dude saying something, and then everyone would have gone, huh, good on you, man. You know, like, this is your platform, take advantage of it. And then they would have moved on with life, and no yep. one would have done it again, and people would have forgotten, and we just went on to play Blizzard games. And now, forever, this is going to be either an issue or it's just going to develop into a meme, right?
Well, look, people truly are boycotting the games, right? Whether that's across WoW, whether that's across Overwatch, you know, whatever. Diablo fans and StarCraft fans have already thrown their hands up in the air anyway with Blizzard for the most part. Talk about giving them that extra nudge for those that do care about this type of stuff, right? That those that are involved or are looking for the, you know, the rights of a player, just the free speech we have in America. They're an American-based company. Like, that's the beauty of our country, is we can do that stuff, right? And for you to take a stance the other way and try to limit free speech, man, like, you just brought in a whole crowd of people that probably had no idea what was even going on in Hong Kong.
Right.
And brought awareness to it in a way that they can't imagine.
Or
so,
imagine how many people who had no idea what Blizzard was, and now their first impression of Blizzard is a company that is supporting China or is afraid of China. Whatever adjective you want to use on this one, right? Like, that is their first impression of it. It's kind of... Let's bring it all back around, right? Like, it's weird to say it's sad because Blizzard, I think, for the most part, always holds a soft spot in all of our hearts, right? Like I know a lot of these people saying hashtag boycott Blizzard are still going on later today to play, you know, World of Warcraft or Overwatch. Like I know a lot of you internet warriors out there are just memeing, which is okay. That's, you know, that's you do you. But for a lot of people, like, I don't know, like Blizzard was kind of like the good guy for the longest time. And then obviously ownership and people head up and all that changed, I'd say probably like within the last 5 years, right? Like when was like the main guy from Blizzard? That's probably like 3 or 4 years ago, right?
Yeah, it was like before, right around Overwatch coming out time, wasn't it? 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know when he left, but I forget his name, but that's kind of like when you saw that shift kind of change where it was more about the player and the games, and then it went more to a business, and you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, it was like really when the Activision Blizzard merger happened. Like, you know, yeah. It went under Activision, people were already scared because of the way loot boxes and all that functioned, and, you know, Activision being a money-focused organization, which is what you should be, but Blizzard always did feel about the players for a long time. This is going to hurt them, not just in the public eye. This is going to hurt Blizzard a lot financially. Their stock price was already down, I think, 1.5% today. After hours market, I'm looking at it right now. It's dropped another percent or two in aftermarket close. So this is going to affect Blizzard in such a way that they're going to have to, first of all, come out and make some sort of statement there.
They have to
make some sort of correction. But in the public eye, it's not going to matter because this is the story that the public is going to see, and anything else is now reactionary. It looks like a fake apology. Should they make one? And then if they do make one, now not only have you hurt yourself with your American and European investors, but if you do flip-flop stance, then you're going to hurt yourself with your Chinese investors too, right? So they really have a decision to make.
They should have done this before WoW Classic, and then their apology should have been WoW Classic.
Yeah.
Like, guys, we're sorry. Here's WoW Classic. And then everyone's like, "Ah, what did they say again? I don't remember.
What's the release date?"
And you did mention, though, something that we haven't brought up, and we don't have to talk too long about it, but the Activision side, which brings up, this doesn't bring up this, but follow my train of thought here. The Call of Duty League and Overwatch League, right? Like, I think Blizzard needs to also look at themselves in the mirror and realize, like, oh, we're not just a gaming company anymore. You're a sports league. You're a franchise, like sporting franchise. There are other owners now and a lot of people's jobs depending on you outside of just your development of games. So you doing this is also affecting their bottom line.
Yep.
Because people are going to see the Overwatch League and now the Call of Duty League and be like, Activision Blizzard, wait, that's the company that like sided with China and like fined and banned their players for speaking out against China or supporting Hong Kong. And that's the other thing, right? It's like they weren't even bashing China. They just said free Hong Kong. It wasn't like they were making fun of the Chinese president or anything like that.
But in China's eye, that's disrespectful.
I know, but you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
like it's kind of...
It's not a direct, like, you're not talking shit directly about China itself.
Exactly.
But
like
the way that China views the situation.
Like, if you needed a loophole to kind of cushion this, right? Like, if Blizzard needed something.
China does not have free speech and free press.
No.
So anything negative that's said against them, those people go to jail, you know? And so... They live under such a different world that none of us will ever want to know and be blessed not to know. But it just blows my mind that this is the stance they took.
Like, this isn't just affecting Blizzard at this point, right? Like, I feel bad for the Overwatch League team owners, like Mike Raffel or, you know, anyone out there, or even now going into the Call of Duty League. Like, these pros and players are probably in, like, the most awkward position now because they're like, well, what does this just lump us in with? Like, how are people looking at us now? Like, the Fuel definitely can't comment or do anything on this. Not saying that they were ever
Andy
going
Miller
to.
Andy Miller just did an AMA. He's probably feeling so blessed that he did this right before this controversy dropped.
Could you imagine?
Because he would have been bombarded with questions about, hey, what are your thoughts on this? And, like, you're right. It's got to be a really touchy topic right now for a lot of owners across the league. How are they going to react? They're going to be asked about it. How are they going to respond? And I hope we get an opportunity to talk to some of them here in the near future, because I really am curious on what their stance is on this and how are they just going to approach it? Are they going to be on the fence along, you know, with the majority of companies that obviously have business in China right now? Or are they going to speak what they're really thinking? And again, for most people, that is siding with, you know, Hong Kong's voice. So going to be an interesting couple of weeks here leading up to BlizzCon. And I know we'll be covering it fully, like Tim mentioned, from, you know, from out in LA. So we'll have an opportunity to see firsthand the effect that it has on people that are attending the event. Are people coming,
sir?
Anaheim, whatever.
I'm sure people over there get really annoyed at that. I just want to shout out to all our Anaheim listeners. I'm sorry, Anuj lumped you in with those LA people.
I really just want to see how people there react to it, right? Because people that go to BlizzCon are diehard Blizzard fans. I'm sure a lot of them are upset today, too.
Well, and I wonder how many people now aren't Blizzard fans.
There's a vocal majority.
They just want to go and protest.
Yeah.
Know? Like, there are going to be so many.
Oh, I know we'll see people outside protesting. 100% people will be outside protesting, especially in California. Like, yeah,
that's the other thing. It's a California-based company. Like, it just so many things that don't make sense about this, right? Like, other than the fact that money, other than the business decision side of it, I get that. Like, if Blizzard, hell, you know what? And it wouldn't help their PR image at all. But at least I could maybe respect Blizzard a little bit if they just came out and said, yeah, we just didn't want to lose like $1 billion. Like, still messed up, but at least, like, okay, well, I guess you were
honest. At least you're not on the fence. We know where you stand.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, this is knowing where they stand. It's the same thing in the sense we know where they stand, but they tried to do it in a way where, again, you know what? I take that back. I don't know what the hell their PR team was thinking because there was no positive way to spin this.
I don't think their PR team was ever contacted. Like, there's no way this went through the proper chain of command and still made it out.
Oh, breaking news. They actually laid off their whole PR team 6 months ago with the rest of all the good employees. So
maybe that's now we found the issue. They laid off everyone that would have told them no. Like, oh, this is not a good idea, guys. This is not a good idea. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll be at BlizzCon. We will be in the heart of Blizzard here in a couple of weeks. So like Anuj said, hopefully, maybe, possibly, we could talk to someone, even get a comment, right? Like just something, you know, saying where they're going to be if we haven't heard anything by then. God help us all, because that's like in 3 weeks. So if we still haven't heard by BlizzCon, then I guess Blizzard is just living life on the edge, I guess. I don't know.
How many Freedom for Hong Kong shirts are we going to see over there?
A
over
lot.
Under on 10%.
Like I said, I don't know about shirts, but
shirts and signs.
Yeah, I was going to say just something referencing it a lot, I bet. I bet you at least every direction you look, you're going to be able to see something. I think. Unless, though, they just have no patience for it, and they could easily kick people out. So this is another jacked up thing a company could do, is they could kick people out who have anything to do with the Hong Kong protest and state it as you're trying to entice, like, public distress, like a public riot.
Can you imagine
they could,
if they did that?
But am I wrong?
Imagine?
Like, they 100% could
they
do
They wouldn't,
that.
Though. They could, but they would never do that, especially with the backlash they're taking in the last 24 hours. They would have to be a bunch of morons,
you know what, Blizzard?
To be like,
double down,
do it.
I want you to test
the waters. If you're a listener, should Anuj test the waters and see if he gets kicked out for wearing a pro Hong Kong shirt? Maybe we'll tweet out a picture or something. We'll see. We'll see what we can do to spice it up. TCR does that.
If you wear a free Hong Kong T-shirt, all I ask is that you bring a second T-shirt to put on over it. If, like, we have to interview the president of Blizzard.
The second one will say pro-China.
Exactly. Yeah, like, you know, like, love
oh, we're interviewing somebody from. We're interviewing somebody from Blizzard. Hold on, let me get my sweater on.
Let me get my pro-China shirt on, right?
Got the straight China flag on.
Watch how fast our opinions change if Blizzard brings us on as employees. We'll sell out to China, no problem. We're not a big company.
The C in TCR could stand for China for all I could. No, I'm just
kidding. The China ring. Yeah, so there's that, man. Yep, who knows? Maybe Chung will get all his money back. But if he doesn't get all his money back, what little money he has remaining from his Hearthstone playing days, he can use with Thrive Fantasy, which is yours and his daily fantasy sports app for prop bets. They also do esports now. You can bet on the League of Legends Worlds that are going on. ESL Pro League, they have matches there that you can bet on. Sometimes they even have free, like you don't even have to spend money. They will just straight up give you free money to bet. But they will also give you free money if you put in $10 and you use the code TCR at signup. You will get a $10 match for your first $10 deposit. Again, that's why you use the code TCR at signup. All right, so let's move on to our next topic. Oh, you got one more thing to say?
Gambling is illegal in China, online sports betting. So
that's right.
Won't be able to use that code there. Hong Kong, I'll find out about. I do think it's
Hong Kong, maybe. Maybe Hong Kong can use that code. Let us know. Let us know, all our Hong Kong listeners. Do you think we have anyone in Hong Kong listening? If we have someone in Hong Kong listening, let us know. We support you. Unless Blizzard pays us first. Then
we support
We'll support you morally, but publicly, no. I think that's fair. I think people can understand that. So, I mean, look, we're not a billion-dollar podcast, so we can sell out. Blizzard's a billion-dollar company. They should know better. We can afford to be a little dumb. But you know who also can't afford to be dumb right now, Nuge? The Smash community. Because I feel like they are playing a very, very touchy balancing game right now with esports, and their scene is about to crumble upon itself. Last show, Sunday night, during E! News, it was like 9 o'clock our time. And I was like, oh, Big House is going on. They're in the top eight. We'll touch base on this next week. Again, this was going to be an E! News story that ended up being a full-on story. Because it wasn't until I put my little child down, wife goes to sleep, it's like 12:30 in the morning, and I'm like, all right, I want to go play some Destiny, because I've been grinding some Destiny now. It's a good newborn game. For all you parents out there who have newborn babies, Destiny is not a bad game to play. Very pick up and put down. You can,
it really
you don't have to really commit
game.
A lot of time to it to feel like you're having fun. Also, secretly, I would say like a top 10 multiplayer experience. So, minus the dumbass radar in that game, the multiplayer is pretty on point. I digress. Because at 12:30 in the morning, guess what was still going on? The Big House 9 Super Smash Brothers tournament. That's 12:30 my time, Central time, Texas time. This is held in Detroit, Eastern time, meaning it was 1:30 in the morning their time. I actually tweeted out on the TCR's account, little tongue-in-cheek, the crowd goes wild, and I took a screenshot of the crowd. Have you seen it?
I did. There's like three people,
there
and two of them
maybe,
are commentators.
Like realistically, 30 people there.
And weren't people sleeping in the aisles as far as I could see? Like it looked like there were people legit sleeping in the aisles.
They were probably taking a nap until it was over.
I really think so.
So this made me, first off, upset because you have Smash Ultimate, which is now supposed to be like, you know, the bell of the ball for the Smash community, with 40,000 viewers for one of their mainstream big-ass tournaments. Like, that should have been easily pulling in, I would say, 60,000. But no. Instead, they're pulling in 40,000 and finishing up at 2 a.m. local time. That is ridiculous. Not only for... And you know what? And I'm going to put it out here. I love Super Smash Brothers. I love the Smash community. But they are also one of the more bullheaded communities out here in esports that would never admit that this is not good, right? But seriously, all my Smash friends out there, this is not good. You cannot have your tournament ending at 2 a.m. your local time. That sucks for viewership. It sucks for the people there. It looks like a joke for anyone watching on stream. And imagine the players. They're playing all day or waiting around all day to play in this event, and then you have the finals go until 2 a.m.
where nobody's watching, you know, the time where you're supposed to be have your most hype. Like, people are not watching majors and events to see the second round of the playoffs, right? You're waiting until the semifinals, you're waiting for the finals. Like, that's what you're waiting for in 99% of events. And so you know, the logic behind it is another thing I just don't understand with, and this is like not almost just, it's not just a Smash issue. You see this like, again, in the fighting game community as a whole. I don't get it. Like they don't want to evolve. And you see that in several areas, right? Like not just how some of their events are held, because some of them are held with high standards. We went to lower tier City 7 that was here in Arlington. Like that was at a normal time and it was a fun event, but like the issue with that one was like a prize pool issue.
Well, that's the issue in general with the Smash FGC and all, but Smash too. Like, you know, Hungrybox tweeted out that like LTC treated him great. It was an awesome event. He won first place and walked away with $1,000. Like that's,
I mean,
and again, and I've had people tell me this, right? They go, yeah, well, Tim, you don't understand. Smash isn't about the money. Smash is about the passion, Tim. That's the passion. Yeah, eventually it's got to be about that money, though. Like, that's cool and all when you're younger or, you know, still in college to be like, it's not about the money, bro. But when you're a top 10 player and you're trying to make it your livelihood, like, that, it is about the money. Right.
When you're a pro player, you're a professional player. That's how you earn a living. That's how you feed yourself, your family. Like that's how you survive. So if you are playing, and this is, I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and just bring this up now. We had a quote from Zero just mentioned this the other day. He won 56 tournaments in his best year. Okay. In 1 year, he won 56 tournaments. That was including every super major that he played in. He earned a total of 45K for the year. This is one of the biggest reasons why he called it quits and left the, left the professional scene and went onto the streaming side, because he can make that in 45 days, let alone a year of playing. And so,
and the practice and the travel, and that's,
oh, it's
heaven
a beat
forbid
down.
If he gets second place, right? Then you can barely get home.
You're not, you're yellow bus. You're like taking a taxi, Greyhound, like something to get back. You're not flying first class like you see with Counter-Strike Pros or Overwatch League. You're not staying in the nicest hotels. I mean, you're barely comping the spending you would do on some of these trips if you're first place in a tournament. So,
yeah. Like Kaikuma brings up in Twitch chat, he's like, I don't think I would stay up till 2 a.m. even for a game two of a Stanley Cup finals. Like, and that's another thing where, like you know what? You're right. Hockey can go until 2 a.m. in the Stanley Cup Finals. When it goes to, like, quadruple overtime.
And it's one of the most epic matches of all time because it's such a rare circumstance for that to happen, right? Think of it for us as local Stars fans. You know, like, we've seen some of those games carry on, but those are the memorable ones.
Those are historical. They
it's
aren't
not
routine.
Thursday night, yeah. It's not game six of the regular season, you know?
Right. That's the issue with these. And the fact that it's not even pulling in, like, prize pools is the more upsetting thing. Like, and it's funny, too, because, like, a lot of these pros, too, are like, what can we do to fix this? I mean, what if we raise the entry fees from, like, $5 to $10? And I'm like, shut the front door. What do you mean? What do you mean $5 entry fee? You guys are still only charging $5 for entry fees into major tournaments? Like, guys, it's 2019. Esports is a $1 billion industry. What are we doing here charging people $5? If your top pros are at this tournament, you better be looking at $25 minimum to play. Now, you want to go into these like tier two tournaments or, you know, not every top pro is here. Fine, whatever, right? But you're talking about like Evo or Big House or these big tournaments. Be like, yeah, go ahead and pump up those, you know, those entry fees. People should want to pay for them, right? Because I know, like, if I was competing and I truly thought I had the skills to compete and be a top pro, $25 is nothing for me to try to have a career as a professional gamer.
Or just to see where you stand, right? Like $25 to see where you rank against your fellow peers and people that you consider competitors. It's worth the investment, right? It's worth the investment in yourself to see where you're at $25 or even $50. Like, I don't care if you're 14 years old. You can mow some lawns. You can do chores.
Sure, when I competed back in Halo, like it was $50 per person or something like that. It was like $20 or $50 per person, depending on like if it's an online tournament or LAN.
Well, Tim, you came from an upper class white neighborhood, so this nobody cares about your opinion. Okay?
The tournaments in South Lake, Texas, were just—I mean, you would just get Bentleys for winning.
You had a game room growing up. Okay, you know, the opinion is nullified.
We don't call it a game room; we called it a loft. Thank you. I played games in my loft. All right, as my maid brought me up my Red Bull,
aka mom.
Not lying, but no, for real though. Like, I think it's okay for the Smash community to look at itself and be like, we need to change. We need to evolve with esports. Finally embrace the fact that you're a top esport and act like it. Yeah. Like, it's okay to, you could still be grassroots and, you know, this wild bunch of people just going in and having fun. And it could still not be about the money. Like, trust me. Ask a Counter-Strike pro. Ask Clayster, right, from Call of Duty. Him winning Worlds the most recently, I don't think he was that excited for winning the money. Like, he will probably tell you the money's pretty sweet. Like, it's not a bad bump. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I don't do this every year for the money. I do it because I want to be the best. I want to win that championship. Well, the only way he can keep doing that is with support of some prize pool, right? Like, there are a lot of Smash pros that have dropped out because it's just not worth it. Because eventually, I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but eventually, sometimes you just have to grow up and life catches up to you. Like, would Anuj and I love to be a professional Counter-Strike player? Absolutely. Could we? No problem. We could be playing for Cloud9 next week if we wanted to, but life caught up to us, right?
I could be playing for Liquid next week if I wanted to, Tim. Cloud9, we're not talking about MDL teams here.
Like, life catches up, right? For me, it happened when I went to college, right? Like, that's when I realized, like, okay, time to put down the controller, and I you know, I'm not making money being playing Rainbow Six anytime soon. And, you know, it sucks because for these Smash players, I think for a lot of them, it catches up faster because even if you were the 11th best player in the world, you might have a sponsor, but it's not like you're walking away with a fat stack of cash or even something livable.
For Christ's sake,
Hungry Box, the number one player in the world, just was able to quit his full-time job like 3 months ago.
And they're talking about changing a 15-year-old game because he's been so dominant at it for that long, right? Like, he's been dominating the scene since Smash was out, and he just started making enough money to retire, and it's because he's really doing more outside endeavors than anything, right? It's not even related to the game. He's found a way to make money on the outside and make himself more of a brand and a business for himself. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know what they need to do other than just like act like they're part of the big boys, honestly. For me, it's just they don't want to act the part. They want to stay with the grassroots feel, not only in terms of the player base, but in terms of like the tournaments. I thought lower tier City 7 was one of the better Smash tournaments or venues I've seen, the way they put it on, because I felt like I was really, truly walking into an event. I don't feel like you get that feel a lot of the times watching some of these other pros sitting in folding chairs on a stage with a black cloth over the table. Like, that's not really the look I'm going for in large esports tournaments. Right. So,
but you're absolutely right. I mean, and that's part of the charm of FGC and Smash. Like, I'm not going to, you know, like, to each their own. I'm okay with that look. I just think it's time to grow up a little bit in esports, right? Like, I think it's time for Smash. And this is for Melee, this is for Ultimate, this is for any game you support out there, if it's Smash. It's okay to want to be bigger. It is okay.
Yeah.
Anything else on that, Anuj? I feel like we made our peace. I would just like to reiterate that because I know someone will DM me on this. Just remember, Hungrybox, number one in the world, just was able to quit his full-time job. So, and that ain't from tournament winnings either. That's primarily
56
from
56 tournaments for zero, or for zero, Tim, as a player in 1 year. He averaged less than $1,000 in winning per tournament.
Yeah.
56 wins, counting majors.
You could probably melt down the trophies that you get and make more money from that.
That's being too kind. That's assuming they actually get them trophies.
Like actual metal trophies?
Probably get lanyards right. Like we do.
Yeah. Let's get into some e-news, shall we? For CSGO, Blast Pro announced for Copenhagen that Semler is coming back to be a caster for their event. I know he did this last year. He made a surprise appearance at a Blast Pro. And everyone's freaking out that he's back. And I guess it's because like everyone's saying, like, oh, I guess Overwatch is dead. I don't think that's why. I think it's just because it's the off season and they're all contract-based workers. And so in the middle of the off season, he probably has like a, you know, there's probably like a grace period where he can go do other work because he probably doesn't get paid by the league in the off season. So still cool. Yeah, I'm not trying to.
I'm just excited
brain.
To have him back. No, I get it. I want to sit there and be like, man, I hope he's like back long term. Not because I don't like him in Overwatch League. It's just I really enjoyed Semler in CS. Like I truly enjoyed him as a caster in CS. So. I would love to see him back full time, but I agree. I don't think this is a full time move. I'm sure he's made some comments on this that we need to just dive a little deeper into. I know he's probably been.
I mean,
asked
he's
about
also
it
said
times,
like in other
but...
tweets, like he, like when Overwatch League ended, he was like, "Can't wait to be back next year." So I mean,
but Alchemist said the same thing.
We could joke about it now because he has his own company.
Yeah.
No, but you are right. Only different. Alchemist and many others said the same thing at Blizzard last year, and that didn't turn out well. Maybe if they were Chinese, they would have kept their job. Yeah, Vertigo is going to be the next map to get some major updates.
Well, they already did. So they did the post-major gameplay updates. No, they're live. These are live updates that they made. They made some rather large changes, like covering up the hole on A site where you can look on top of the like. You'd have to go look at the images to kind of see all of these because I don't want to. There's literally 20, 30 major changes that they made on the map. It's getting some mixed reviews, but they are still, at least they're still working
Vertigo.
On the map. Yeah, it's still Vertigo at the end of the day. I was sad to see that I did not see the update for the new cache. I will hop back into CS when the new cache comes out. So
right,
that'll be
Let's
fun. Looking forward to that.
Like I said, I definitely want to play some CS. It's just. Unlike Destiny, you definitely, if it's a comp match anyways, you
it's a commitment.
You cannot just walk away from that one. So, we'll see. Maybe some deathmatch servers. Anuj, I know you were really asking me. You were like, dude, pass me the ball. League of Legends update, go.
Yeah, so like, honestly, some teams won, some teams lost.
It's going to be interesting to see.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens here. I do know Splice beat Unicorns 3-2.
I was told in our Discord a song
Hong
came out.
Kong Attitude beat Icarus 3-1. That happened earlier today. Yesterday, you had Damwon beating Low Key Esports and Clutch coming out on top of Royal Bandits. Again, Clutch, I think, is...
I heard a song came out, so that's exciting. You know.
Oh, a lot of love going on right now for Clutch Gaming. And so they 3-0'd and steamrolled Royal Bandits yesterday. The next matches don't come out until Saturday. So and this is where the big boys come into play. Like Saturday, you have Fnatic versus SK Telecom. You have Invictus playing. You have Liquid playing. So you have a lot of the big boys playing on Saturday and Sunday. So if you're... really ready for the group stage to kick off. These are best of one series that will take place. So Saturday, October 12th, you can tune in and catch a lot of the big names. I think it starts 7 a.m. local time, central time. So you can go off of that and kind of figure
do
out
the math,
what time to wake up. But yeah, Fnatic SK, 7 a.m. on Saturday, central.
Call of Duty came out with some news, or leaked news, I guess I should say. Blizzard leaked it themselves. Also, some system requirements. Anuj, you put this in the show notes, and literally I was in mid-sentence with you before the show. and saw this. I can't believe the amount of storage you need to play the new COD. 175
gigs? 175 gigs. The minimum requirement, I think, on PC is a 970 for the video card, which is a three-generation-old card. So
that's me. I got a 970.
No, you got a 980, dude.
I got a 980. You had a 970, but you got rid of it.
I have a 970. That's my old computer.
There we go.
Yeah, so 970 was the minimum, or is the minimum, which I think, you know, that part is fine. But 175 gigs, I mean,
dude,
some people are going to have to go out and upgrade their storage to get
Sorry,
this.
Shep, deleting some baby pictures.
Look, if between this and what's going to come out, you had a Red Dead, which I think is 100
That's
gig download, is coming out.
Star Wars has got to be big.
Star Wars, Cyberpunk, like a ton of games coming out.
Did just give up trying to optimize their files? Is that what it was?
I think Call of Duty in particular, they upload or they have you download all of the expansions in advance, and then they just activate
Unlock
them to go
it.
Live. So, yeah, I think that's a big
also,
part of
a
it. You're kind of downloading the full
Remember
thing.
That. There's a single player for this one.
Yeah, but still, okay, that should be like 5 gigs, maybe.
I was just saying.
Overwatch is like 12 gigs, and it's like a whole game, you know? It's like, what's going on here?
True that. Also, some franchising was leaked for names. I don't want to hit on all of them, but the first one here, Atlanta FaZe. That's right, FaZe, which is reportedly the actual FaZe team, which is not owning the Atlanta slot, but officially partnering with them. So that's the loophole that they can still use the FaZe name. Because they're not ownership? That seems like...
I don't know how that makes sense. Like, we'll have to get some clarity on that. That's what we've been reading today.
That seems like borderline illegal. Like, tax evasion type of stuff.
But you like it, right? I mean,
I like the idea of FaZe's name being in there.
I wish Envy's name could personally be in there.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Dallas Envy sounds so good. Dallas Empire still sounds too New York for me. Like,
it doesn't sound like Dallas-y, right? Like, it doesn't almost
fit. I see Dallas Empire, and I think New York. I think New York Empire. That sounds like a cool name. Unlike the New York name, the Subliners. What is that?
Well, it's like tied to the subway workers, right?
Is that what it is? You're going to have so many people make fun of sub. Look, subpar liners.
I mean, I'm assuming it's related to the New York subway system. I don't
know
if it's
the workers
or what.
Dumb name, though. You don't
want to
put sub in anything. Like, that's just a sub. It's just a bad look.
I'm not a big fan of the Mutineers. Royal Ravens, also.
I don't like Royal Ravens. Paris Legion sounds cool.
It's like they just threw Royal in there because it's in London.
100%.
The Ravens. No, let's be the Royal Ravens.
Los Angeles Gorillas, Chicago.
I Huntsman, like that.
Seattle Surge.
That sounds really 90s to me, but I'm just thinking of the drink. And so
Optic Los Angeles reminds me of football. Look at me being a hipster. Soccer. It reminds me of soccer. Like, that's very soccer to put like team and then city. Like FC Dallas, Optic Los Angeles.
It's funny. The ones I like are the teams that are already pre-existing. FaZe. I like the Optic name.
Paris Legion sounds cool.
Paris Legion does sound cool.
That sounds cool. For a second, when I was quickly reading this, I saw Florida Mutineers, and my heart almost dropped because I thought it said Florida Manatees. And I was like, 100% my favorite team name ever. And then I saw it said Mutineers, and I was like, worst team. You just went from first to worst in my book, Florida.
Dude, Manatees actually would have been pretty dope.
Awesome. God, they would have had so many fans. Just so many. So we'll talk about that later, though. I'm sure more Call of Duty news will get out. Mr. Ford in Twitch, sadly, yes, you did miss the Smash talk, but you can catch it on the podcast. And last but not least, not really fun e-news. Every once in a while, things like this come up, and we just like to kind of remind everyone that life sucks sometimes and enjoy what you got. But the attack earlier today, late last night, I don't know the time difference on what happened.
It was during the day in Germany. The attack on the synagogue took place during Yom Kippur.
Yeah. Killing two people. I really only saw headlines on this. Did they ever catch the shooter? I know he was out.
I think the shooter was I don't know if he was one of the two. I know he was apprehended or killed at the spot, but there's others like cell phone footage. I guess the reason we bring this up is this was I believe he streamed it on Twitch.
Yes. So he streamed it on Twitch live as he was shooting. And
in the CSGO section.
In CSGO. Now, thank God this wasn't like front page. I know a lot of people are getting onto Twitch about this, which, come on. Like, let's use our brains here. Let's not just be these internet warriors who need to you know, grab our pitchforks for the sake of grabbing them. How the hell is Twitch supposed to know this, right? Like, there's not someone watching every stream. Like, it's just not real. So let's just, you know, thoughts and prayers, and let's just be real on what the situation is. It sucks. It really upsets me when things that we enjoy, like Twitch or video games, which is supposed to bring people together, and then some asshat uses it for what? His 5 minutes of fame? Like, thank God only five people saw it live. They reported it. I think it was only up there for like 2 hours or something. Twitch did a tweet, like gave all the stats saying like only like, it, like thank God it wasn't everywhere is what I'm saying. And Twitch came out. They have a bunch of tweets on it. I think they're handling it as well as one can, right? They're getting so much backlash. Yeah,
if you restream it, Instaban, like they're doing everything they can.
They're doing everything they should. They're coming out and saying like, look, yeah. We obviously like, no, we don't support this. This is not what the platform's used for. Like, it just sucks. It's definitely a situation that just sucks. It sucks. That's it. That's my take. So, yeah. Anything else on that one?
No, man. Well said. And yeah, I mean, again, just thoughts and prayers go out to the people over there. And you just hate to see this shit, man. It's every week. It's always something new. And you know, that's life, man. It's real right now, and it is what it is. And just sucks.
Yep. What can you do other than be nice to people?
Yep.
That's all. That's my simple solution in a powerless world that I live in, I guess. Be nice. That will do it though for this episode of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 181 is in the books. It's done. Thank you so much for listening. If you skipped around or listened to the whole darn thing, thank you. Love you all the same. Shout out to Kaikuma in Twitch chat, Solios, Mr. Ford. Thank you for stopping by, being a part of the conversation. Always be sure to join the conversation on Discord, which you can find on our website, tcr.gg. We will be back on Monday talking about whatever happens on the weekend. Will Blizzard make a response? Knowing our luck, they probably already made a response as we're recording, because that's just never fails.
That if it's we kind of just how it is for
we
us.
We do a full-on discussion, and then all of a sudden the news breaks. That's our luck. But we will handle that Sunday night. You'll hear it on Monday, unless you tune in live on Twitch. That is always an option as well. But that's it. Again, I'm Tim for Anuj. We'll see ya.